speak to us in this night. It's the end of the day, Lord, and some of us might be tired. But open our ears, open our hearts, that we may hear what thou hast to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we've been speaking about open and closed doors. And at this moment, tonight, we're going to speak about the doors that are ajar in our life. The doors that are ajar. Now, I don't know if you people used to play hide and seek. Who's played hide and seek in the house? All of you. Hey, now imagine it's hide and seek. It's such fun. Somebody's on and everybody's running around the house and I'm running around, but I'm about Glenn's age. And I jump into a cupboard and I'm in the cupboard. And as I'm in the cupboard, I hear everybody scurrying around and suddenly I see somebody coming past and I open the cupboard just a little bit and I say, jump in. I'm hiding here. Jump in with me. What has happened? The door of that cupboard is ajar. It is open and a little space is open so that the other person can jump in. But you know, as Christians, it is possible that we can have the doors in our hearts and the doors in our lives slightly ajar for Satan, for temptation, for the wrong influence of our friends. And it is a very, very dangerous thing if that happens to be so, because then we will grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, the important question that we all going to ask ourselves tonight is, are there doors in my heart that are ajar? They're not tightly bolted against temptation and against Satan. What has slipped in to my heart that God knows about and that I know about? Let us consider for a moment. There are four texts that I'm going to stop at in the Bible that deal with this door that is ajar in our heart. And the four scriptures are this. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the first one. Second one, Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Third, Ephesians 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Ephesians 4:27 just simply says, neither give place to the devil. Four verses that deal with doors ajar in our life. Now, the picture is the first verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, is a picture of a door that is tightly bolted against the devil and temptation. But there is a reason for that. It doesn't happen automatically. We have to do our part to keep the doors of our heart solid against Satan and temptation. And the first part of the first verse that we're dealing with is we have to be in submission to God. What does it mean in everyday language? It means that we must be determined as a Christian to only do what God wants us to do. That's all. I want to do what God wants me to do. So when temptation comes to my door, I will only open that door if I know God wants me to open that door to whatever comes to my door. So the first question I ask, I'm behind the closed door and somebody knocks at my door. And I say to myself, does God want me to open the door to this influence, this person, this suggestion, this invitation? Now, there's a lady that I know, she was persuaded by her friends to go to some entertainment. And she knew it was wrong. She knew God didn't want her to do it. But she was so keen to please her friends. And to be quite honest, she wanted to do it herself. She had a tug, you know, it was a particular field of entertainment that she was very interested in. It had something to do with music and she was extremely musical. It had something to do with drama and this lady was very dramatic. And so she ended up going to something that she knew she shouldn't go to. Not to disappoint her friends and actually to fulfill the desires of her heart. But you know, she testified to me afterwards that while she was at this entertainment, she was so miserable. She was so worried because the only thing that came to her at that place, while everybody was laughing and joking and just going wild, all she thought was, what if the Lord Jesus came now and found me here? And then she said, never, ever, ever again would she like to yield to her friends' entreaties when they wanted to do something that she knew God wouldn't approve of. In other words, never, never, never will I open the door unless the Lord Jesus says, go ahead. If I would please my master and seek to do his will, I will be very eager his commands to fulfill. Therefore, when Satan tempts me and friends would have me go to places of the devil, I'll quickly answer, no. But if I do not care to do all that God commands, I leave doors slightly open to Satan's soft demands. No, no, I will be yielded. I'll say, God's will be done, so that each day I know that I've his approval won. What is the next part of the verse says? It says, resist the devil. Does that sound like a door ajar? Resist. It means the bolts are drawn across and it's the chain is on. It's absolutely solid. Now, we warned in Cape Town that we must not open our door to anybody unless we are more than 100% sure who's standing at the door. And even if we think we know who's standing there, even if it looks like a policeman, please check if it really is a policeman and not a baddie in policeman clothes. Well, you know, but the sad thing is often in our newspapers, we have read about people being murdered. We've read about women being very badly hurt. And often in the newspaper, it says these words, no forced entry. What does it mean? No forced entry. Well, it means they opened the door to the person who stood there. They thought the person outside looked innocent. And they opened the door and the person came in and caused havoc in their lives. When in doubt about something in your life, do not open the door in your heart. Do not allow anything in your life that you are not sure of, that you do not know for 100% that you have got God's approval. Now, Roy's little daddy was at school. And he had gone on some entertainment. It was an outing like on a river and everything with a whole lot of friends from different schools. It was an organized thing. And when he came back, it wasn't long before he came back when he got a phone call. Now, we were all intrigued. We've got a very quizzy family. Everybody's very interested in what goes on in everybody else's life. So suddenly we heard Roy saying, no, 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 no. So Noel says, Mom, come, come, what's going on there? So we were all standing around the corner and all we heard was this, no, 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 no. So when Roy was finished, we said, what on earth is going on? Why all the no's? So he replied, he said, I couldn't say yes. He said, because I know what they were inviting me to would end up having wrong things happening. He said it was a dangerous invitation that they gave me and I had to say no. But you know, there's a little lesson to learn from Roy's replies. He didn't discuss matters with him. There wasn't much space between the no and the next no. He didn't embroider on the subject and say, listen, you, what exactly is going to happen? He knew what they invited to him would hold wrong. And therefore, he said no before there was a chance of them persuading him. It's dangerous ground to parley with other people who want to tempt you to do wrong. It's better to just say no right at the start. More discussion. You know, if you discuss things and I wonder if it really is that bad. Let's think about it. Let's discuss it. What exactly? You know what you're doing? You're just opening that door a little wedge. And what does the devil do when somebody opens the door? What does he put in? He puts his foot in, hey? And he starts pushing. And when somebody has got their foot in and they start pushing, it's very dangerous to keep them out. What is Psalm 1 verse 1 said? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What's God actually saying? He said, hey, don't sit with those people who talk against God, who swear, who talk about films they shouldn't go to, who talk about things, Eastern things like yoga and all the other things, who have swearing and will try and influence you against the Bible. Don't sit with them. Don't walk with them. Don't talk with them. If somebody's trying to lead you astray, close the door of your heart and say, listen here, this is not on. I'm not going to be dragged away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't talk intimately with them. Separate yourself from them. Don't haunt their places, because you're going to end up in their midst if you start parleying with them. Well, next door to us, where we used to live on a farm, there's a man who has lions on the farm. And he's a lion farmer, and lots of people come and they visit and they go and look at the lions. And the lions are all in enclosures. And there was a lady that I knew who worked for them and helped them. And she said, you know, she was very scared because in their house, one of the lions, they managed to get a little cub away from the big lions. And this little cub was quite at home in the house. The little lion cub used to run around the house and play in the lounge. And in the night, she said, that little lion cub actually used to hop onto the bed and sleep with a man and his wife, this little lion cub. And she said, you know what? They said, oh, it's just like a kitten. But she said, you know, the way that little thing walked and the way his little face, she said, you know, it isn't a kitten. And I got scared. And she said she stopped working for them. She stopped helping them. You know, because they played so much with a little kitten, the lion cub, they began to lose their fear for the bigger lion. And one day we heard of the tragedy. The big lions were fighting in the enclosure, and a man jumped in to separate them. And when he jumped in to separate them, the lion attacked him, tore him to shreds, and killed him. They got so used to the little lion that they were killed by the big lion. And you know, the little sins. Ah, this song has only got one or two swear words, and it's not that bad. That beat is, I know it's a bit of a whatever, but it's, you know, it could be worse. It's at least not metal, heavy metal. And so it's the little cubs, eh? We play with him. You know, this film has got a lot of swearing in, but, you know, it's got a lot of good too. Let's balance it. It's just a little line. Cub. The internet, well, you know, it's educational. It's history. It's the truth. So why can't we look at all the bad things and immoral things that were part of history? And so it's a little cub that we're tossing around from left to right. But what happens to the little cub? It grows up. It's big and it devours us. So don't play with a little lion cub, because you'll be killed with a bigger lion. It is dangerous to treat a cub as if not a real lion. For cubs grow up and bare their teeth to pounce, devour in time. We dare not dally and declare, 'tis but a little sin. For if it gains an entrance, more room that sin will win. Resist the devil, says God's word. Don't give him any room. He'll push right in and take control and lead you to your doom. Resist the devil. Lock the doors. Don't answer to his knock. Don't be polite and give him ear. Rather, your two ears block. Resist, resist when stealthily he whispers in your ear. Treat all he says as dangerous. Proclaim, you will not hear. Resist the devil. And what does the verse say? He will flee from you. Only if we are obedient to God, we submissive to God, will and willing to do his will, eager not to open a door, even a fraction to the devil, will the devil flee from our heart's door. Resist isn't saying politely, you know, I don't think I will do this. What is resist? Resist says no. Just like Roy said no. It says, it means putting our shoulder, you know, the devil puts his shoulder against the door to try and push our door open, but we put our shoulder and we say, we won't give you an inch of room in our lives. It's enforcing, steadying that door that it cannot be broken down. by the sweet talk or the roaring. And then we come to the next verse that deals with temptation. It's a wonderfully encouraging and comforting verse. In Hebrews 2:18 it says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." The Lord Jesus helps us in our temptation. When we are tempted, we are never alone. I remember as a little girl, I was 7 about when I got saved. And one of the most wonderful things to me was that the Lord Jesus was with me. And believe it or not, even as a 7-year-old, I was tempted at things that happened at school. Terrible things were offered to me. So the Lord Jesus was with me in the temptation. We don't have to face it alone. He knows how hard it is and how we suffer when we are tempted, because we have to sometimes be so alone in saying, no, I cannot do what all the other children are doing. He knows how hard it is to resist it. Now, when Noel was at his first year at school, they had a swimming gala. He was only grade 1. Now, most of those boys couldn't swim. And the principal didn't want any of the boys to be out, so it was a very shallow. They made the water in the swimming bath very, very low. And then all the little boys were going to stoop like as if they were really professional swimmers, and they jumped in, but they sort of pretended they were swimming, but they were actually running with their legs. And their whole head was out of the swimming bath, and everybody cheered, and they waved. They thought they were brilliant. But there was a little boy in the, at that school that was really like a miniature doll. I cannot tell you how small he was. He looked about 2, and he was 6. He must have been some little, had some dwarf, something dwarf-like about him. But anyway, he was totally miniature. Now, where everybody had their whole head out of the water, he would only have about his nose out of the water. And the principal didn't want this little boy to not be part of everything. So there he was in his little swimming costume. It was a boys' school. There were boys in the swimming. And they put him into the swimming bath right at the edge of the swimming bath. And he had his little head out like this. And he's just his nose stuck out. He was so short. And the teacher held his hand. I'm sure that water was frightening. If he tripped, he would go under. But you know, the teacher held his hand the whole of the way. So he also did this little hand like this. And that hand was holding the teacher. And he made the whole length of the swimming bath. And when he reached the end, we went wild. Because he had reached the end. And he had made it. He'd actually made it as much as the other boys. You know, he only made it because the teacher was holding his hand. And you know, we can only conquer temptation and resist the devil if we are holding on to the Lord Jesus' hand, and we are absolutely dependent on him to help us to not open the door to the devil. There was no danger for that little boy with his hand in the teacher, but I think it was still scary. And I think for each one of us, temptation is scary. I mean, there is a tug at your heart. But you have to remember, I am not alone. The Lord Jesus understands just how hard it is for me, and he's with me right here in the swimming bath. God is not cruel. He will not ask us to do what is impossible. Sometimes we feel at school and the things we have to face, even in the home, are impossible to always do the right thing. But 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear." God is not going to ask you to do the impossible. He's there to hold your hand, and he's there to help you through. But sometimes you cry, "Oh, how can I always be the odd one out? Even if the Lord Jesus holds my hand, it's so hard to be the odd one out." And you know, the Lord Jesus even understands that feeling. I remember once when I was at boarding school, because I went to boarding school, there was one time when I did succumb to temptation, when I was really tempted by peer pressure to go to something that I shouldn't have gone to. And oh, how ashamed I was that I had succumbed to temptation that time. But there is other times that I can remember. I was once on a voyage on a boat, and all the children on the boat went to this function. And I was very little, but I knew I couldn't go. And I did feel very lonely. Every child was in that room, but I was sitting alone with the adults. And it does feel, you do feel a little bit odd and strange sometimes. but we must be faithful in what God asks us to do. Once when I was in grade 12, there's a big function at the school. It again involved lots of things that I couldn't go to. And I said, no, I can't go. And the teachers came and said to me, Jenny, this is ridiculous. Why do you want to be so strange? This is you the, I mean, it's absolutely, there's nothing, going to be nothing wrong at this function. I, as a teacher, say you must go. It's your parents. They're overboard. They're forcing you to be, strange and overboard. That was the word she used. So I just say, no, it's not my parents that told me not to go. I know that I cannot go. And I remember that night I was sitting in my room. It was a long passage where everybody usually is in that passage. And I was the only one that hadn't gone. And I can still remember the music, the deafening music. And I'm sitting alone in this room. And I thought, oh, I am alone. And then suddenly it was as if the Lord Jesus just flooded that room with his presence. And I thought, no, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He's with me in that room. And I was so glad that I hadn't yielded to temptation, yielded and opened the door. He understands how difficult for me to resist Satan when he comes to tempt me constantly. He understands the fear I have inside that I will open up the door. He stays right at my side. He understands how loud the knock, the sound I'm bound to hear, for Satan is insistent and often doth appear. He knows how weak I am. At times the door's ajar to see what Satan has in hand. I've lifted up the bar. But then Christ bids me fasten up to avoid grief and shame. Resist the devil, he commands. He only causes pain. The next verse tells us how to be equipped to keep that door closed, to hold the door against the devil. And it's Ephesians 6 verse 11, which says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we're not going to go into the whole armor. I'm just going to quickly tell you. And right at the end of the list, we get the helmet of salvation. If we do not have the helmet of salvation on, it's no use even going for the other armor. Salvation is critical. It doesn't help resisting the devil when I'm actually hand in glove with the devil. So salvation, am I saved? Is the Lord Jesus in my heart? Is he holding my hand to help me resist the devil? That's the first part of the armor. Then truth. Am I truthful and honest before God and man? Do I pretend to have doors closed in my life against Satan? But actually God knows and I know that those doors are ajar for Satan. I know young people who smile, who look religious. They look perfect Christians. They dressed so as if they come from the 18th or the 16th century. But secretly, they are doing terrible things. God knows everything. He knows when you've opened the door for Satan. Quickly close it and hope nobody sees. God wants us to be honest. Truth is part of the armor. Only then can he deal with wrong and help us to bar the doors on the inside. Faith. Faith is trusting God to save me initially. And afterwards, trusting that he can keep me. Because greater, 1 John 4 verse 4, is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we have to have faith. God can help me overcome temptation. He can help me resist the devil. He can help me keep those bars in my life in place. No matter how beautiful the temptation is, no matter how tempting the temptation is, no matter how alluring the temptation is, how irresistible and how forceful, I believe God will help me to resist it. And then we get the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Essential in our hands. We stand behind the door. We say to the devil, don't you dare come into this door. We don't say, I've got a gun in my hand. We say, I've got a sword in my hand. Now, that's the surest way to bolster against temptation, to stop the devil getting an entrance. The scripture, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 190. Or a young woman, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not open the door to the devil. Now, in 14 Bedford Street, where we live, there's keys on the front door. There's a security gate that friends have put up. But inside, we only use the Yale because there is a bar that we put across that really makes the door very, very rigid. Now, there are times when baddies have come and they've tried to shake that door like I did that one time to try and shake it open. But that bar stays in place. It keeps the door solid against them. And that's like the word of God. It's a bar, a chain, a slot to the door. When the devil and the friends and the world would rattle at our door and try and open it up to sin. For example, I go into the to the shop and I see this dress. It's a flimsy dress. It's a see-through dress. It's made out of the most exquisite material. But it will show every detail of my shape and my figure. So temptation rattles at the door and it says, oh, you look so nice in this dress. This will really show off how thin you are or how skinny. Imagine how people will look at you. Oh, think of how the young men or boys will stare at you. You see, temptation is rattling at the door. It's trying to break it down to such an extent that it seems that that door is going to give in. But suddenly the slot says, be ye modest. You remember what the word of God, and you say, and the door stays firm. But now there's again a rattling, a rattling, rattling. Oh, what's it this time? Oh, this time it's the computer. I'm tempted to look at a film. And this film is about immoral things, bad language from beginning to end. But it not only uses bad language, but it advocates bad language. And the other students at school say, oh, you must see this on the internet. It's so funny. It's so well done. Oh, it's an excellent plot. It's beautifully executed. Everyone has seen it. You're going to be the odd one out if you haven't seen it. Don't tell me you haven't watched that yet. Where do you come from? Are you from the ark? Rattle, rattle, rattle on the door. But then suddenly the slot goes there again. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oops, off goes the computer. You see? But there are other intruders that rattle on the door. The one intruder is just a nice, gentle intruder. I'm going to have to tell a lie. I'm in a real predicament. I'm in big trouble. If I tell the truth, I might lose my job, or the teacher will punish me, or mom and dad will be exceedingly angry. And next week will be agony if I don't just tell the small white lie. The temptation says it's not too bad. After all, it's not even a gray lie. It's a white lie. It's so tiny. Let's adjust the truth a little bit to get out of this mess. Rattle, 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 rattle on the door. But the slot stays firm. Why? Because Colossians 3 says, lie not one to another. You see how the word, you see how the sword works? And it frightens the devil when you've got it in your hand. Now the cell phone and the computer we've spoken about, they're some of the most dangerous instruments used by the devil to get a foothold into your life. The knock is so subtle. No one else hears it. You're listening behind a closed door. In fact, you know what? You go to the bathroom and you sit on the toilet. And you look at your cell phone and nobody knows what you're looking at. But you know, there is somebody that is looking. The Lord Jesus sees everything. Everything that you do. You know, I know of a man, I've heard the story, a true story, of a man that secretly used to go down in the middle of the night and get in the computer and watch wrong things, pornography. And one day, night, the little girl wanted to go to the bathroom and she came down, she thought, oh, what is it, daddy? And she looked over his shoulder and you know, she went off her head. They had to put her away. She went totally off her head because of what he had done. So, it's not anybody else that's watching us. But you know, while you're looking at those wrong things, God is seeing what you are looking at. A holy God, that great and terrible name, the Lord thy God, sees what you're looking at. He hears what you are listening to. And you will reap sorrow with the filthy words, the music, the other things, the horrid pictures. And the images will pop up again and again in your mind's eye after they've long ago been switched off. Don't do it. Don't open the door in your heart or life an inch or a millimeter to the devil. Don't give him a wedge. He will push in. Slot that door. Pull all the slots in place. Resist the devil so that he will flee from you. He goes as a lion. He rattles with a loud rattle. You know, oh, no, that is wrong. But he comes as an angel of light with those little subtle whispers that make you say, is it the devil? And it is. Because you know why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, when Peter said, wanted to tell the Lord Jesus the wrong thing, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't Satan, but he knew the devil was using him. If there are friends, even at this campground, that are trying to get you to not obey God, that are trying to influence you about music and films and other things that you know are wrong, it is the devil that is wanting to use them, and it's actually the devil that's got his foot in the door. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, people knock at the house door, and sometimes, often, it's obviously the wrong person. I just know by the knock. But you know, sometimes they run up and they trip up our steps, and it really sounds like one of my nephews or one of my boys. And sometimes I haven't realized, and I haven't been careful, because there's a little hole that I can look through the door. So I always should look to see who's at the door. And there was once where I thought it was my nephew, and I opened the door, and I nearly kissed the baddie that was standing just inside the door, because I opened to say hello. And there it was, not my nephew, not a friend. But it was actually somebody who was trying to get an entrance into our house. Satan sometimes knocks so gently that we don't realize it is Satan. He is subtle. Oh, be so careful what you allow in your life. What you open your door to. How careful we should be always with media in our hand. For Satan subtly tries to get with it the upper hand. So many things upon the screen can pop up suddenly, which fills the mind with sordidness, defiling easily. The music that you choose to hear, the books you take to read, can be a wedge Satan creates to sin. Where would you lead? We need to be so careful to recognize his knock. And without hesitation, against him, the door lock. And now the next scripture says, neither give place to the devil. We may pretend our heart's door is totally closed, but actually it is slightly ajar. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the illustration of a man that was going to a fancy dress ball. And everybody had to dress up as something, and some dressed up as fairies and Mary Queen of Scots and all the different characters, Henry VIII, and this man dressed up as Satan. So he dressed up in the, you know, the costume of Satan with the tail, the traditional costume that they have of Satan. And as he dressed up in this costume, suddenly as he was walking, he didn't take a carriage, it's the olden days, there was a terrible storm and lightning and thunder, and he was caught in it. So what he did is, he saw a little chapel where people were holding a service. So he ran in from the rain into the chapel. Now, it was thunder, lightning, bang, crash. And they turned around. It was almost like smoke. And they turned around, and there is the devil. So they screamed. They thought it was there. And they all started running. The church was empty, but there was a lady that was wedged between the pillar and the thing. And her dress caught in the nail. So she's trying to get away. There he is standing. And she says, oh, don't do anything to me. You know, we've always been friends. Nobody does that. We've always been friends. Now you see. It is. It is sad, actually. It's not only funny. It's sad. Because, you know, lots of us, we pretend that Satan is our enemy. But actually, Satan is our friend. Because we love the things he offers to us. We love the things he wants us to do. We're actually friends with sin while we pretend that we are religious and we love God. So perhaps we can echo the lady's words. We've been in the same boat all along. God wants to look into our hearts and He wants to find out if the doors in our heart have been slightly ajar for Satan. It's the last verse we did was, neither give place to the devil. We cannot give the tiniest room to the devil. Remember the man with the little lion cub? It was so small, it was like a kitten. It didn't seem dangerous at all. He became so at home with the little cub that he was eventually killed by the bigger lion. We cannot afford to have doors ajar in our heart for the influences of Satan. And the most subtle influence of Satan that he uses is the influence of our friends. We dare not allow any room in our hearts for anything that displeases God. It will not be long before the devil has a much bigger room in our hearts. How careful I must be that I keep all doors barred and locked. Against temptation and the world, my heart's doors firmly locked. But it is very possible that I may sometimes let a heart's door open just a wedge, a peep outside to get. I do not do the blatant things that Christians should not do, but my door is a bit ajar to peep at something new. Although I know it is not right, I like to find out more, and so I turn the key quietly and open up the door. But dangerous it is to let there be a tiny wedge, for Satan will come right away and squeeze in at that edge. Therefore, rather let me take care the doors all firmly closed, each lock in place, the padlock on, that Satan is opposed.